Word Radio Broadcast, the ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 2 Thessalonians, a message we preached last year about this time. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Who knows? Maybe next week we'll find out it all fell apart, because it can't. That's why you need to be praying. You remember last week we talked about the angel that came and told Daniel in chapter 10 of Daniel. He had fasted for 3 weeks and he said, I was sent to you weeks ago, and he got there the 24th day. He's fasting for 21 days. Finally, Daniel kind of went back, washed his face, got back to regular food and enjoyed some cake. Okay. And I was enjoying life again with the regular foods. But then the angel Gabriel showed up and it blew him away. In fact, the Lord himself showed up there, and then the angel Gabriel took center stage to speak to him in chapter 10. But that happened in chapter 9 too. What was happening? The angel Gabriel was hindered, and he was hindered for 3 weeks. But listen, my point in saying this is there's a battle right now in the heavens. If you think there was a battle back with Persia and Greece and Babylon on both ends of this thing, I mean, if you think that was a battle, what do you think's going on now? This is happening. And even if you can't see it in a spiritual sense because you're not as tutored in those things, I've just told you about it. Revelation chapter 12 talks about the dragon who drew down a third of the angels and the war between Michael and the archangel, Michael and the devil. And that's not the prince of Persia. That's the devil himself. And so Michael's a pretty formidable foe. And in chapter 20, the Bible says Michael brought a chain and put the devil in a pit for 1,000 years. So you see my point. There's a battle going on right now. Important reason to know that, because the Bible says that he's coming. That's his return. That's what they were worried about. If he's coming, when he comes, there's going to be a great celebration. Now, that's after Armageddon. Okay, it's going to be a celebration called the Day of Christ, and he's going to mention that in a minute. But his coming to the earth is one thing. He stands on the Mount of Olives, it splits. But his coming in the air is our gathering together to him. Do you see my point? Two things happen in verse 1. Very important. Sets up the narrative. He says, I'm begging you on the basis of his coming, which you're all about. And I love the fact that you love prophecy and are gathering together to him. These are very precious truths, and you're right to be looking at everything through the prism and through the grid of his word. It's important that you do that. The problem with many believers is they don't know the word, so they can't apply the word. What I did last week was try to give you a context way beyond what you would regularly get from me just saying China is the kings of the East and they don't come till later. I can say that in one sentence. But when I gave you the context, you're like, wait a minute, Antichrist is there. I see that. Oh, he's coming, and Antichrist is troubled by the kings of the East. And I'm saying to you, there's a context, and you need to know your Bible, because there's a lot happening right now. This is not time to say, well, I can't get to it, I can't read my Bible, I'm tired. Rain on that. Get up early. Just get up earlier than anything and just start reading the Word when you're fresh. Don't give God the vestiges of your day. Give it to him in the morning, because you need to know this. This is a need-to-know situation right now. He says, I beseech you, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together to him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled. And he's going to name a couple of things, and I wanted to say at the outset, when you see the word letter here in a minute, somebody had circulated a letter among the Thessalonians saying that they were in the tribulation. They didn't just jump to the conclusion. If you go on YouTube, you'll find many people say Jesus is not coming for the church until somewhere toward the very end. It's like up and back. Some of them think it's the mid-tribulation. But the Bible teaches very clearly that the church is not going to endure the wrath of God. That's in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. You are not appointed to wrath. That doesn't mean you're not going to have hard times. We just proved that in chapter 1. But it's not the wrath that God's bringing. You say, well, the seals are not the wrath. No, the seals are the wrath. Read the last verse of the 6th chapter. It says, kings and everybody ran to the hills and said, this is the wrath of the Lamb. Okay, they know it's the wrath. And God recorded it as the wrath by saying that. You say, well, that's what they're saying. No, that's what God is saying they're saying, so you and I will know that we're not appointed unto wrath. God already poured out his wrath at the cross on our sin. Some people say, well, the church is so bad they need to be spanked and knocked around. Yeah, Jesus is going to beat up his bride and take her home. That's what's going to happen. It doesn't make any sense at all. I think I'll beat up my wife and then I'll say, let's walk the aisle. No. No, he's taken us out, and he's been very clear to us that it's a time that is for the Jewish people, not the church. There's no conflicting of the two programs. The tribulation is to get Israel saved in a day. And they'll go through almost the entire tribulation and not be converted, save only for a remnant. You have the 144,000 preachers that are going to be saved, but you also have probably remnants here and there. But the nation being saved in a day comes at the end when they see him whom they pierced. They mourn for him as for an only son. He stands on the Mount of Olives. Listen, and the Mount of Olives splits in a great earthquake. And those people, by their faith, here's how they're going to testify of their faith. They're going to run right into the cleft of that mountain. That's what's going to happen. You want to talk about a testimony? You say, I don't want to get baptized. That'd make me wet. My hair will be messed up. Hey, they're running into a dust pile over here in between because they've been reading, and their confession is going to be seen by going into the midst of a chasm that was just created by an earthquake. Isn't that cool? God's Word is pretty neat. The Bible says that you should not be shaken. We've been a little shaken this week, maybe for the past little while, but this last week was kind of hard to absorb when we saw some things go sideways, not knowing what would happen next. Troubled. Well, man, Parler and Twitter and Facebook and everybody shutting down the president. Impeachment, impeach, impeach. I don't want him to have the next 2 weeks. And you didn't maybe know this, but maybe you did. Pelosi has been in contact with the Joint Chiefs saying, make sure he doesn't have the football. Make sure he doesn't have the codes. She's been worried because he knows everything about everybody. He's the president. He knows. He got Hillary's email. He got Hunter Biden's laptop. He knows, he knows, he knows. And he has not said anything because he wanted everybody to do things lawfully. Even the guy in Georgia that he was asking about, you know, just get me 20,000, we can flip this thing. And the news media run with that and saying he's trying to flip it and he's trying to massage the numbers. But what he was doing was he said, I got 100,000 votes. It's easy to do. Just give me 20. I don't want to make you look bad. Let's just do this. And they didn't do it. You see, we've been seeing things all week this week that have been troubling and unsettling. And he says, don't be shaken or troubled. He says, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. There's the letter I told you about. Somebody's circulating it. You're in the tribulation now. Jesus is coming. Hold on till the end. And they're like, that can't be. Paul said this. And they didn't have a Bible to go back and reflect on. So he writes them a letter. Right? They didn't have the Bible yet. They just had what he told them. And they're comparing notes. What do you remember? What do you remember? He says, no, we didn't write that letter. He says, as that the day of Christ is at hand, and it's very important that the word day of Christ be maintained. Anybody who has a Bible that says day of the Lord, instead of the day of Christ, that's troubling. Because the day of the Lord is a totally different thing. The day of Christ is when he comes with his bride. The day of the Lord is the time when he judges and he's doing the tribulation, and that's pouring out. That's when the Lord rises from his throne and begins to do exploits in battle. But the day of Christ is really what they were worried about because they thought they were in the tribulation. Because if the day of Christ is at hand, then they're in it. He says the day of Christ is not at hand because you haven't been raptured yet. Okay? That's what he's trying to show them. And it's funny how the devil attacked that one word. Devil's sneaky, isn't he? Hath God surely said? Yes, he hath surely said. And he said day of Christ. That's what he said. Because that's what makes sense of the passage. Because everything that follows, if it's the day of the Lord, he says the Antichrist can't be revealed until the day of the Lord. Okay? And it's got to be apostasy first and all these other things. Continuum doesn't fit with it being the day of Christ because you're almost into the tribulation. And the Antichrist is going to be revealed pretty quickly to people who've been tutored. But he's going to be fully disclosed as his true character in the middle of the tribulation when he sits in the Holy of Holies. But the one world ruler is going to be coming, but he's got to come in his order. The Bible says that, that as though the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3 says, let no man deceive you. You might want to put a little star by that or maybe mark that with a special character because the word deceiving and lying and all that, it's going to be throughout the passage. You're going to want to maybe connect them later, looking back over it. So make a mark that's unique to you, a little carrot there or something. I don't know, whatever you do, because it's going to be a connective. He says, let no man deceive you by any means. Have you felt like you've been solicited to believe lies lately? Yeah, I know, right? It's like out of control. President Trump, we hadn't heard from him for about 3 days. Where was he? Well, if you ask CNN, he's hiding out. He's worried they're going to get him and, you know, they're going to bring him to trial and prosecute him. That's what some have said. when in reality he was probably in the base down there in Texas, having the military behind him. That's a very good possibility, isn't it? Because that's the other news you get behind the news. And you can say pick your poison, but the reality is that some things are happening right now that are pretty startling. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. The Greek word is apostasia. We get the word apostasy from it. The great apostasy, which is obviously something that's happening as we speak. So we're in that. Okay, the apostasy means that you stand away. It means away from. Abo means away from. And the word stasis means the standard, or where the stand, to stand. But it means the standard. Apostasy means away from the standard. This past week, I was working with a wall carpet that's very, it's like felt, but it's pretty thick. And when you'd roll it up, man, I was getting shocked on everything. Why? Because there was static electricity, standing electricity. That's what the word static comes from, stasis. In the Greek, apostasia is the word apostasy. It's transliterated over when we use the word apostasy. The reason I say that is because you need to realize that Revelation chapter 3 says that the Laodicean church age is the age when Laodicea means laos, people. You've heard of laity and clergy, clergy and laity. Laity means people, and docia means conquered. The people conquer. In other words, now preachers don't preach the Word of God because they're wondering what the people want to hear. That's apostasy. And when the preachers give way to putting a finger in the air and seeing what they want to hear and giving him itching and itching their ears, what happens is that it's not long before the entire body is sick. And so we're in the apostasy. And that's in chapter 3 of Revelation. The Bible says you think that you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You've got the best sound system, the best carpet, the best seats, the best building, the best facilities, the best video system, the best youth program, all these things. But you don't know that you're poor and naked, miserable and blind and wretched. You see, that's the apostasy. Does that sound familiar? Joel Osteen, you can have your best day now. If you're having your best day now, then you're going to hell later, because my best day is later when the day star rises. Amen? Okay. When he rises and he comes and he takes us home, then it'll be bliss and joy and everlasting joy. You and I are looking forward to that, I trust, together. The Bible says, let no man deceive you, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin, that's the Antichrist, the one world government, the one world ruler, we've been seeing him prefigured on the international scale of late. Globalism versus nationalism. America first, or get rid of Trump and kill him, and let's get back in the climate accord. Let's get back to, you know, destroying the economy. Let's get more trillions out of the debt so that we can wreck the dollar, so that we can get everybody to give up their money. Because when everybody's given the same amount of money, the money's not worth anything. And that's what they're trying to do by overprinting, because you got too much money out there. It just crashes the system, and they've been trying to do that forever, and they're trying to do it now. And what we're seeing is that's prefiguring the man of sin's coming. He will come with a solution. The pandemic has been used to get everybody afraid. The last thing a Christian can afford to be right now is afraid. My times are in his hands. He has my back. And that doesn't mean there's not a real sickness to avoid and be careful of. I'm telling you, folks, 99.9% of people under 70 survive this. 95% of the people over 70 survive COVID. What did I say about deception? Those are real numbers. So there's still 5% if you're over 70. Be careful, for goodness sake, right? Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.